This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Hey, it's Friday, Brent.
It is Friday. Well, thank you, Dave, and welcome back to Newsmakers, everyone. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne, and it is Friday. We're going to talk about a couple of good things today. Thanks for joining us on your weekday. Newsmakers, where you hear local talk.
That's right.
Local news, local interviews with people who are doing things in our community, and quite often the good things. We don't have a lot of bad people in.
No, we bring the good in.
Yeah, that's right. Somebody's got to hear about it somewhere. If they're bringing good stuff to the community, then we want to broadcast it.
If it's bad, we get on our soapbox.
I've got a gentleman calling in, and a little bit, I teased this yesterday, who's doing something different in Turner. And Turner's becoming more and more interesting in terms of, you know, there's houses being built out there. People are escaping Salem a little bit, and they're building on a lake.
Because there's no third bridge there.
You don't have to. It's just a skip.
It all
over
comes
the
back to that.
And anyway, something very exciting. So we'll talk to him about that. And this one under the category of somebody just decided I'm going to do something different. And I'm going to invest in my community, and it should be very, very cool. We'll talk about that in the next segment. The first segment, we're actually going to continue something that came up yesterday. We were talking about yesterday how much money spent on campaigns by public employee unions yesterday.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we had the Freedom Foundation in on the show. Mm-hmm. And this, we had the Oregon director here, Aaron Wythe. Aaron, if you're listening, sorry for messing up your name.
Yeah, right. He was on the phone. Yeah.
We had him on. Yeah, we had him on the show, and very interesting. So the huge news, in case you missed it, is that there was a Supreme Court case, Janus versus AFSCME, AFSCME, Public Employee Union.
Right.
And the U.S. Supreme Court said, no, you can't force people to be members. You can't force them to pay dues. You can't force them to put money in the union coffers to buy elections.
It should be a choice.
All right. So a right to work thing. And that happened just last June. So it's relatively new news, and it's huge news in terms of, you know, balancing when you talk about money in politics, which we talked about yesterday.
Right.
All right. So in case you weren't with us yesterday, I don't know what you were doing. You must have had a dentist appointment or something.
Date, something. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah. Let's get that number again. Money poured into campaigns in the last 3 years. The top 10, over 60% of the top 10 donors were public employee unions. Almost $21.4 million out of $35 million that was spent in the top 10.
That's just pretty scary.
Three of them. Yeah. Three of the top four. All right. Where do they get all that money? They get it from the union dues that they're forced to, that people are forced to pay.
Right.
All right. So the court case. And this comes from the Freedom Foundation, an article from the Freedom Foundation. This has exceeded even their expectations. 30% membership losses seen in Oregon in some of these.
Wow, that's pretty big. Now, I had that in the news yesterday and today.
So. Yeah, 30%. And some of these chapters are 50%. It's incredible. It ties into one of the things that I try to preach to people, that assumption that everybody agrees with you.
Right.
On the left, on the broadcasters, if you entertainers, you go to see a comedian and they start making Trump jokes or Republican jokes or conservative jokes, they just assume everybody in the room is not going to be offended, like they're not conservative and they're not Republicans, and that, you know, every late night host. I mean, Jimmy Kimmel completely capitulated having any conservative listeners, watchers, right? He's like, well, I don't need them to watch. All he did is tirade. He's supposed to be a comedian. All he did is go on tirade night after night after month about Trump and about
I used to like watching him too.
I thought he was pretty talented and kind of funny.
He is very talented.
And then I was just like, I'm not listening to that.
Yeah.
It's like, and then how many percentage of Americans get their so-called news from the night
late
show,
night late yeah because they miss all the other shows
last week's show yeah. all those other shows and they think it's news and they're comedians in the entertainment business, but the presumption, the arrogance, you know, at the Academy Awards.
I mean,
you went 30 seconds into the Academy Awards without an insult against the right. Yeah. And they're, oh, thunderous applause and this and that. Well, maybe that audience, you can get away with that. All right, so this assumption that everyone agrees with you, the unions probably severely underestimated how many people don't agree with their public policy goals.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. We're pro tax increase in every instance. We are pro, we only give money to Democrats.
Like it doesn't apply to them or what?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, you raise taxes, it's going to be on everyone. They don't seem to understand that.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I'm surprised, and I must say pleasantly so. I thought it was entirely inappropriate to force people to pay dues.
Mm-hmm. Should always be a choice.
And the money goes to political action.
Mm-hmm.
And in at least in Oregon's case, to one party. So 30% membership. That's losses just since June. I mean,
that's
a little over 6 months. People are just now getting the word out. When we talked to Aaron Whiff, it was just like, we're just trying to get the word out so everybody knows that they have a choice. And one out of three union members are not wearing purple that day. They're saying, no, you can't have my money.
Right.
Wow. That is huge. Meanwhile, in a related story.
Yeah, I highlighted it for you too. I put a mark right here.
Right there.
Read that paragraph.
Okay.
And,
here we go.
And from the let it sink in.
This unprecedented loss of revenue explains why the OSEA requested the introduction of House Bill 2643 via Representative Paul Holvey. He's a Democrat from Eugene. So he introduced the bill designed to circumvent the freedoms provided to workers by the Supreme Court case, and would take away their ability to opt out of their union dues. Well, we have to circumvent what the Supreme Court just said was the law of the land. I stopped reading.
Yeah, you did.
We have to circumvent whatever the law in the land here, because Oregon has to have it our way. Anyway, back to quoting. Instead, their dues would be automatically deducted from their paycheck. Isn't that still forcing them to pay?
Yeah.
Automatically deducted from the paycheck by the state, and then go directly to the union. So now we want the government to actually collect the money on behalf of a private union.
It's a public employee union.
But it's a private entity.
It's supposed to be.
It's not a government entity, but we're going to have the government collect the money and then hand it over to this group? Wow.
Shaking my head. Just unbelievable.
The taxpayers will be on the hook to fund unions directly. Hey, now we're going to have the state force you to take it. I don't know how that flies.
Is it just the employees, public employees, or is it everyone?
Public employee unions, yeah.
Because it sounded like the state was going to take money from everyone and then give it to the union. That's what it sounded like.
Paul Holvey, Democrat Eugene. The bill's designed to circumvent the freedoms provided to workers. Aren't you the party of the workers?
Wow.
These freedoms, there are freedoms provided to workers, as so says the U.S. Supreme Court law of the land in the Constitution. And you are sponsoring a bill to circumvent those freedoms. Why? I wonder what his campaign contributions. I'm casting aspersions, but
yeah,
it makes me wonder.
It does.
All right. One more thing, because before we're going to take a break and we're going to get back to this Turner subject. Our governor.
That would be Governor Kate Brown.
Governor Kate Brown. So she's been putting money in her bank account as far as her elections.
Talking about the campaign financing?
$2.6 million in campaign cash.
Oof.
Has gone into her campaign cash,
mm-hmm,
from people that do work for the government, for the state.
Uh-huh.
Vendors who are paying, you know, who are being hired by the state. So,
okay.
Vendors making money off of state contracts, pouring money into her campaign.
Wonder why.
Over 500 vendors. So, mind you, this is illegal nationally. National elections, it's illegal. If you're doing business with the federal government, you can't also fund the campaign. right?
Okay.
But in Oregon, you can. So I'm not saying it's not illegal. It's just, even Forbes, by the way, if you want to look it up, this is a Forbes article on Kate Brown. Forbes article on Kate Brown.
Nice.
And it says, I mean, they don't even, you know, hedge. They said this has, she's embraced the highly unethical practice of soliciting campaign cash from state contractors. Did she learn nothing from Kitzhaber and his girlfriend?
Apparently not.
Wow. She's soliciting campaign contributions from state contractors who want to keep their job and keep making money off of the state.
Yeah.
This is wrong, people. All right, we got to take a break. We got somebody on the line.
Yeah.
Yeah, we may have a chance to rant about this more later.
Okay.
But
I look forward to that.
But in the meantime, after the break, we're going to talk to Chad Cassidy. Cannot wait. You're listening to Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
You know what I love about Fridays? Free pizza from JC's Pizzeria. They love us over here. Hey, this segment of Newsmakers is brought to you by Color Tile of Salem. All right, Brent.
All right, welcome back to Newsmakers. It's one of our joys at Newsmakers to spotlight things that are fun and happening in the city. And if you're familiar with something that we should spotlight, be sure to drop us an email or something. There's kyknewsmakers@gmail.com, kyknewsmakers@gmail.com. Drop me a note, and we'll spotlight something that's cool and it's happening. In the meantime, we've got Chad Cassidy on the phone today. Chad, you with us?
Yes, I am.
There he is. Awesome. So, all right. I've been teasing this segment a little bit by saying that you're doing something very cool in Turner. So,
yeah.
So, tell us about your project. Tell us about your building.
Well, a few years ago, my wife and I purchased the old church on the corner of First and Denver Street. And we have been working on it since that time to convert it into a tap house. And the building was built in 1891, and we essentially had to take it down to the studs and redo the foundation and redo all the plumbing, all the electrical. It's been a fair amount of work, but we're closing in on the end here. So
1890, a church from 1891 in Turner, Oregon. That is a long time.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, how big was Turner? The church had five members. I mean, that is not a
pretty small.
Pretty small back then, 1891. All right. So what possessed you to buy an 1891 church and turn it into an establishment?
a little lunacy, I suppose, a little some insanity. So, you know, I've always had a dream of having the dream kind of started with having a really cool barbecue place, but I've always had a dream of having taking an old building and converting it into a new use like this. But this particular dream started. We were having breakfast actually with a couple of friends just around the corner from there at Turnaround Cafe, and we were talking about that old church over there, that would be pretty cool if that was a bar or something. And so we went and checked it out, and it it just looked awesome, and I could see the change. I could see, you know, what it could do for the community, and it was really super exciting. Sure. And I didn't know anything whatsoever about that kind of work. So the other part that's exciting to me is learning. I mean, it's been a huge learning experience going through this process, understanding all the things that are required to take a, you know, 120 some year old building and make it usable again. So
did you have to bring it up to ADA standards?
And go ahead.
Did you have to bring it up to ADA standards and all that?
Yes. So we actually purchased a used lift to install in the front porch so that we can get handicapped people upstairs without having to, you know, hoist them up the stairs themselves. We did have to put in a bathroom in the upstairs. So we actually have a bathroom upstairs and two downstairs. We put in a ramp into the downstairs area as well. The one thing that we thought we were going to have to do was make it essentially flood-proof, which means taking the building and raising it up above the 100-year flood zone.
That's a church.
In the flood zone.
It's a church with a whole new meaning. And, word, you know, barn raising, church raising, right? Get it up in the air.
Yes.
All right, Chad, tell us about the fun stuff.
And it's remarkable how complex it is to actually lift a building.
I bet it is. Tell us about the fun stuff, about opening and what are patrons going to be able to see? Because there's nothing like that in Turner, right?
There isn't. It is going to be one of a kind, and hopefully it's one of a kind in the Valley, really. There's really not much else like it around here. We have 32 taps. We'll have some local beer on there, but we want to have a way for customers to come in and kind of explore different beers. So we've got some ideas going of how we can kind of introduce beers that people may not be normally used to. We actually have our own food cart, and so that will be our kitchen because there just wasn't quite room enough in the budget to build our own kitchen inside. So we're going to have a permanent food cart there to essentially be our kitchen. Food will be sort of a gastropub style food. We'll have some interesting things on the menu. One thing that we're exploring and experimenting with is a fry bread taco right now, which I'm really excited about because I'm a personal taco connoisseur.
Did you say bread taco? What'd you say?
Fry bread taco.
Okay. Well, no. That'll be new for me.
Yeah.
All right. So you have a name for this establishment. Do you have a sign? You've started advertising.
Yes.
Tell us about Angel Share.
So the name is Angel Share Barrel House. And
Dave, do you know what that
comes
means?
Comes from the term of distilling spirits and aging spirits in barrels. So when you put 50 gallons of a particular spirit in a oak barrel and you leave it there for aging, some of that alcohol is going to soak into the wood and evaporate on the outside. So when you pull out that aged spirit, you might only have 49 gallons or 48 gallons. And so those 1 or 2 gallons, those go to the angels. That's their share. So that's where the term comes from. I believe it's Irish, but, you know, there's several different groups that want to claim it.
That's pretty cool.
That is awesome. And especially appropriate since you are going to be serving beer in a church.
Right.
Or a former church.
Right.
How big is this church?
Right.
How big is the area, and how did you expand it?
It's 4,400 square feet total, 2,200 square feet on the main floor. We have 2,200 square feet downstairs, but that's primarily the walk-in cooler. We have some unfinished space and a small private room. So we did not expand the building at all. I mean, it is still exactly the same as it was before. We just redid all the walls. I think it's just the right size. It's going to feel cozy, but we can still have over 100 people in there at a time and not feel too packed.
That's nice.
Yeah, 100's a good crowd. And you're going to draw from, obviously, Turner and everybody around Turner.
Yeah,
there's a lot
surrounding
more people
area.
That
yeah.
surround Turner. And even people in Southeast Salem would come down.
Yeah,
so,
right.
Let's say I'm not a beer person. Are there spirits available, or am I going to get beer or cider or wine?
Brent, I'm going to convert you one of these days. I'm going to convert you. So, yeah, we're going to do beer, wine, and cider. We are applying for a full commercial liquor license so that we can serve other spirits as well, but we're not going to push that. We're going to just get started with beer, wine, and cider so that we can get things going, get things open. But we do want to be able to have that flexibility to have a rum and coke or a, you know, margarita day or something like that.
We're talking to Chad Cassidy, and Chad and his wife bought a church. It was built in 1891 in Turner, and had the vision. That's the thing. It might have been a crazy vision, but it had a vision and the creativity, and then was willing to take a risk and try to turn this and turn around this corner, which is right in the heart. It's really right in the heart of Turner.
Yeah.
So, Chad, I wanted to say, hey, this is awesome. Thank you. Like always, with every entrepreneur, everybody who's willing to invest in a community, create jobs, create tax base, create a fun place for people to go.
Absolutely.
It's really, really amazing.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you taking the time today to talk with me.
Do you have any other partners besides your wife, and how's that partnership going?
Oh, Brent.
Did he go there?
You're always poking the bear.
Nice.
It's going pretty well. She's excited about it. She really is.
I'm excited.
It has been stressful. It is a big undertaking. It's a big challenge, but she's getting pretty excited about it. We're getting right down to the wire on this right now.
When can we come patronize you?
I think it's going to be a pretty neat thing.
When can we come patronize you? When's opening day, or do we have it set?
We don't have an opening date set. We are aiming at sometime before the end of April, but we don't have a specific date. We've got a few paperwork items that we're getting ironed out.
Just face it, it's red tape.
Paperwork items. How's the city?
Paperwork items. So, wow.
How has been all the permitting, the OLCC process? I mean, you have a full-time job, right? So you have a full-time job, you're doing this on the side, and you're raising kids. And how is that, as Dave likes to point out, the red tape part of it? And how's Turner to work with? I'm hoping that they're being pretty welcoming.
The city of Turner has been absolutely phenomenal. They are really enthusiastic about this project. Obviously, this building is probably, we don't actually know how long it's been abandoned, but we're guessing it's been at least 20-some years. Hmm. It's been a really long time since this building has been used. It just looked ugly sitting on the corner with, you know, just broken windows and things. So the city is really excited to have this, and that it is kind of... I'm hoping that it will be an anchor in the town that will help drive a little more commerce, maybe a little retail into the community. And I think that that's really what the city is looking forward to. They've been awesome working with the county. The city doesn't do any of the permitting. The county does most of the permitting. It sort of flows through the city. They do final sign off, but the county's been good to work with. OLCC has been remarkable. You know, as many times as I've heard, you know, people saying, oh, the red tape and it's, you know, it's complex and everything. The folks down in the office here in Salem at the OLCC office have been super helpful. They really walked through the process for me. Since I'm brand spanking new, I haven't done this before. They helped make sure that I had all my paperwork turned in properly and accurately, and they've been really easy to work with.
That's awesome.
That is good to hear.
Hey, Chad, let us know exactly when the opening day is, okay? We'll have you back.
And do you have a Facebook page yet for Angel Share?
Yes, we do. You can just search on Facebook, Angel Share Barrel House. AngelShare.pub is our website. It has a link to our Facebook page.
That's Chad Cassidy.
Instagram.
That's Chad.
Twitter account.
Oh, sorry to interrupt you. That is Chad Cassidy, owner with Melissa of Angel Share Barrel Company. Look for them in Turner. Look for them on Facebook. Thank you. We'll have you back on after the opening and see how it's going. We got to take a break. This is Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers, proudly brought to you by Sylvan Learning Center. Now back to Brent and his soapbox.
Thank you. It is Friday.
I
should reserve a segment just for Brent's rants on Friday. Brent's Friday Rants. That sounds like a good
segment.
We could
do that. This could be the time.
So I don't, nobody really does, but I really don't like hypocrisy in people's mindsets, in politics. I just don't, that double standard where our team can get away with it, your team doesn't.
Yeah,
that,
right.
I saw somebody on Facebook posting, like, it was about, I don't even know what they were complaining about, but it was, why is it always the Republicans? And I'm like, what about this person and this person and this person and this person? And
they don't like it when you bring up the facts.
Like, it's not always Republicans. You just want to think that it's always Republicans.
Right.
Or that whole, anybody who stands behind somebody who's their team, that's air quotes there, their team, even when they do something wrong. There's example of example. But today we're talking about money and politics. And it's something unethical. So we were talking about the governor and her campaign taking a bunch of cash from people who are getting paid by the state. They're contractors, they're private contractors, but they've got these state contracts. Their livelihood's coming from state coffers, and then they have an influence on who gets elected?
And
it's illegal nationally, but Oregon thinks it's fine.
How can that be? If it's illegal federally, how can it be legal statewide?
Well, for federal contracts. You know, if you're doing business with the federal government.
Well, the state should have the same law.
I think I'll agree with you, Dave. I don't always agree with you.
I know, it's rare. I'm going to have to take a picture of this and go, this is when Brent actually agreed with me.
Coincidentally,
yeah.
Back in the news, Sylvia Hayes.
Again.
Uh-huh. I don't like people to laugh at people's trials, but the Ethics Commission rejected the settlement that she and the staff people at the state had agreed upon on this $44,000 fine. So the staff takes the settlement, it goes to the Ethics Commission, and they're like, no. At issue, one, she didn't show up for the hearing.
Well, that would be an issue.
For the meeting.
Yeah.
And two, she can wipe away these fines with a bankruptcy proceeding.
What?
So they're like, she still would be able to dock responsibility for these things.
Correct.
Pay pennies on the dollars.
Yeah.
There's an article in the Statesman Journal. We plug the Salem Reporter when they do good work. We got to point out the Statesman Journal has an article on this, and you can check that out online, I'm sure. And no, I will never, ever refer to her as Oregon's former first lady.
Because she wasn't.
Because she wasn't.
She wasn't married to him.
Yeah. So
girlfriend.
I prefer shack-up girlfriend.
Wow.
Not that I'm judgmental.
No, not at all, Brent.
I'm not the world's biggest prude, but I thought it was wholly inappropriate. I'm old-fashioned enough.
Yeah.
I will confess I'm old-fashioned enough to think that our chief executives in our government should be married if they have basically a common law spouse.
Hmm.
And if they're not, if they're dating and they have a relationship, they don't get the title.
No, that's
Prince Harry's girlfriend doesn't get the title before she gets married.
Right.
Right? Yeah. Not that it's royalty, but.
Now she has the title because she is married. Right.
Yeah. Anyway, that was just amazing to me that all this money's coming in and, hey, it's okay for our team to do it. But if it were a Republican, there's a double standard and that drives me crazy.
That's just one example.
It is.
I know.
And it really goes back, and we've talked about this on Newsmakers quite a bit, to the Clinton era, where organizations that's supposed to stand for women abandoned all women in the nation to stand behind serial sexual predator Bill Clinton. I don't usually talk about national stuff, but that it still bothered me 29 years later, or, 20 years later.
It must be.
Yes, because I believe that there is a role in our society for advocacy groups.
Yeah, absolutely.
I absolutely believe there's a role and a need in America for National Organization for Women. Unfortunately, they capitulated all of their responsibilities by saying, no, we don't have a problem with this.
Double standard again.
I know. I'm like, oh, well, now you have no credibility for the rest of eternity.
Yeah, right.
Because you just threw every woman in the workplace under the bus.
And now they're advocating for them.
So, anyway, this ties into, it makes me laugh, sometimes, the things they choose to pick on. So they're concerned because some foreign dignitaries might stay at Trump's hotel. That just makes me laugh. I'm like, on the national level, he's got hotels in Washington, D.C.
Sure.
And then how it's some sort of big ethical blowout problem, and he's somehow compromised because foreigners might spend nights at his hotel, therefore making him money. And that's been this big issue of, like, he's not divested himself of his properties, and therefore he's getting these enumerations or whatever it is.
Do they not understand he stepped down from that? He's not making any money on
that's
that.
That's his. He's making the money. Yeah,
his son's running it.
He did not divest himself. But it's whatever it is. I don't care.
I don't either.
I don't care. Do you think?
Let's do something that we care about. Come on.
Do you think it matters to whether or not, you know, he buys a new driver for his golf bag if somebody stays at his hotel? Do you think it matters to a billionaire whether or not some guys from Ukraine stayed in the Trump Tower in Washington, D.C.? I don't know. It just seems... Meanwhile, it's perfectly fine for our governor to take over $2 million in campaign contributions.
Right.
And she's in a position at least to have influence in whether or not those people contributing are doing business with the state.
So their motto is nothing to see here, move along. Mm-hmm. It's all Trump's fault.
All right. I'm going to tie this into one thing that's a little bit more local, and then we're going to take a break and talk about the volcanoes.
Yes.
We got Mitch back. Apparently, he brought his energy pills again today.
Yes.
We're going to have Mitch back on to talk about what's going to go on at the St. Kaiser volcanoes.
And win some box seats.
Opening
night.
Why don't you give us a call right now?
Let him announce it. Yeah.
All right. We're going to let Mitch give it away.
Yes,
he's got something to give away. So stick with us. All right. The thing I'm going to connect is when I was in city council, there were all these laws about disclosures, and everyone's concerned about people doing things that benefited them if they're in a volunteer capacity or an elected, any elected capacity. So mind you, it's a volunteer position. You're elected to city council, and it wasn't just Salem, it was whole state. So I looked at the disclosure, and they wanted to know every family member I had, what their contact information, where they worked, what their address was, and all this.
Kind of like a Secret Service background check or what?
Yeah, they wanted to make sure that there was nobody in the state that might stand to influence me or might stand to benefit from the public policy decisions I'm making in Salem, Oregon. And I really, really struggled with it. And ultimately, I didn't sign it. Ultimately, I didn't fill it out. And the reason I didn't fill out, my father-in-law, very private man.
Right. I remember you mentioning that before.
He lived in Southern California, and I said, you do not have a right to put him on a public document.
No.
That's out of bounds. He's a very, very private man. And so it's just out of bounds, and I wouldn't stand for it. And if they had to remove me, they had to remove me. And what I basically did is I waited it out until I left my position.
Oh, wow.
rather than make a court case or this and that. Meanwhile, we have people making decisions on what happens for decades, from people who are making decisions on what to do with PERS, who are on PERS. Unbelievable. How is that not criminal? The people who decided not to update the mortality tables benefited from not updating mortality tables.
Wow.
That's just wrong. All right. That's the rant. But we're gonna have Mitch back, and we're gonna talk about volcanoes. So stick with us one more break, and then he's gonna give something away. You're listening to Newsmakers with Brent and Dave on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And welcome back to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne, and in the studios with us, Mitch Graft. Graf,
G-R-A-F, single F.
Wow.
But it's Mitch with an E. It's M-I-T-C-H-E. Seventh grade, I dropped the L. I wanted to be different. And to this day, my mother spells Mitch without the E.
My wife told me I spelled your name wrong when I was writing you an email.
Mitch is with the Salem Kaiser Volcanoes, and he is instituting all sorts of new things, new energy, new ideas, new passion for this family entertainment venue in Salem Kaiser. I've been out there so many summer nights over the years because they've been around a long time now.
What's the best part when you come out there? What is the best part of your experience usually when you're out there?
Ah, that's a great question. I think the best part is having that time. I'm either there with my spouse or my kids, right? So it's because if you go to a movie, you don't get to talk. You know, there's the baseball, of course, and I love baseball, as we've established. But it's sharing the baseball with the wife, with the kids. And then I would tag on to that other people you see there. You run into other people in the community, and you only know them from business, and they're out there in their shorts and their Volcanoes hat. And
I'm sure a lot of business is conducted out there at the game, too. You know, my best part of being at the game there at the Kaiser Volcano Stadium is how close the players are. You can
you can touch them.
You can, they can come right up to the wall there and say hi to you and chat. And they did, as a matter of fact. We were in that patio area off to the right-hand side.
The party patio. Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. But that's where we were sitting. And they came right down into there, and they were talking to the kids. They gave them a ball, you know, let them play with their mitt. That's family stuff right there.
That really is. And you can only get that in minor league baseball. You go up to the majors, you know, you're a little bit
they
more
got
removed.
Bodyguards.
We have the party patio. If you go to the first base side, that's where the Volcanoes dugout's at. 10 feet past that is the party patio. You can put 125 people there. We can feed you there. We can water you there. And you literally can say, hey, how's it going, Joey Bart? How you
right?
doing, manager?
Yeah.
And only in minor league baseball.
Yeah.
That's a wonderful thing. And you're talking about the family experience. This year, I think more than in recent past, we really are going to hang our hat and put a lot of our marketing efforts into the fact that we want to be family friendly. When people are sitting around on a Friday saying, what do you want to do this weekend? I want them to say, you know what? I want to go to Volcano Stadium because it's like a foodie destination. We talked a little bit last week about the fact that we're bringing in between 3 and maybe 6 different established restaurants that have brick and mortars right now. They have a beautiful brand. They have staffing. They have equipment. They have a following. Give them a space actually inside the stadium in one of our 11 stands, what I call mini restaurants, and let them just rock and roll it. That's going to make it even better for us because it alleviates the pressure on our lines, which has been, it's always an issue when you get big crowds.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to just increase that fan engagement, that fan experience. We have those people for 4 hours, and it's a high honor for people to say, I'm going to spend 4 hours of my life. That's the most limited thing we have in our world is our time.
Sure.
So someone to give us 4 hours, it is our obligation and our duty, responsibility, to entertain them and give them a great value for their $12, their $20, whatever they're going to pay. And every second, we have to be mindful of that entertainment value between the pitches. There's a few seconds there. Let's get a boom, boom, shh. Let's get that noise. Let's get some in-between inning entertaining that they've always had, but let's enhance that a little bit this season. So we're looking at every aspect of that fan engagement, that fan experience, so that when they walk out of there, they just really do crave the next time they come back and hang out with us again.
It also felt like a safe environment as well.
Yes.
You know, there's for us and our family, so baseball family, so my kids grew up with a baseball IQ off the charts. So as little kids going into Little League, their IQ on baseball and was huge because we sat and talked about it.
That's right.
You know, you have a captive audience there with your kids and what have you. But on the flip side, it's a long time for kids just to sit.
Mm-hmm. They need entertainment.
Hey, I'm going to go throw the baseball on the speed machine.
That's
I'm
right.
I'm going to go to
go to the kid zone.
Yeah, go to the kid zone. I'm going to go to the home run porch out in left field. Mm-hmm. And you felt safe letting your kids run out there and hang out with the other kids. And that was a big part of it, too.
I mean, it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to give away a couple of tickets. You want to do that right now? I got a couple of opening night, which is June 14th. And I have 2 lower box tickets I want to give away to. How do you want to do it? First caller,
I'm sitting right here.
Caller, I'll give them to you.
I'm sitting right here.
You have to pay. You guys get your tickets already. So.
All right.
Well, that's good to know.
To a listener, we're going to give it away.
All right. It's 503-393-1430. We'll take first caller for the lower and for the upper.
No, just 2 for the lower.
Oh, 2
yeah,
for the
we'll
lower.
Get 2 for
okay.
the lower. Right All there, right. close to the field. We'll give you 2 to opening night, June 14th.
Yeah. All right, there you go.
503-393-1430, and you get opening night. That's what day of the week? Is that a Sunday night? Is that Father's
Day? It is a Friday night.
Friday night.
Nice.
Yeah, double-check that for me, guys. To me, everything should start on a Friday night. Double-check that date for me. But it is June 14th. We have the Futures game on the 12th, and then our season begins on the 12th and goes through the 14th and goes through the end of August. And hopefully this season we're going to have some playoffs. And I really believe if we work harder on putting a good team off the field, I believe the guys on the field are going to play better. And it might get us that one extra run, that one extra win, the bomb of the ninth when we're down by 2 and we get that 2-base RBI. We win that game. That puts us in the playoff. So I really believe that our fan base really can can take our guys to the next level and maybe even win us a championship this year. It's been a long time. Yeah. It's been 12 years, and that was the last time we had a relationship with KYKN. Did you know that?
I did not.
All the championships that the Volcanoes have won, I don't think it's – yeah, I think there's a little bit more of a connection. Even Jerry Walker, our owner – 1 year resorted to wearing the same socks every day to try to break the streak. It didn't happen. So he smelled out the office, but we didn't win the championship. So now that we have our new relationship with you guys, I'm very excited to bring a championship back to the Salem-Keizer area.
And they could feel the energy, too, from the crowd. They can tell if the crowd's, like, bored or not into the game because it's not going well or whatever. I'm sure that'll help lift them up.
Look at that. You got 12 lines lit up. All those people calling in for the tickets. Seriously, there's 10 lines lit up right now. This is Volcano Nation responding, isn't it?
Yes.
I like it. I like it.
Yeah, wait till you give away some more later on.
I am really excited to have you guys putting in new energy and just a new focus. It's going to be really fun. You talked about the speakers. You improved the speakers.
We were just talking about that.
Hear it from the parking lot.
Absolutely.
How did that go?
So there's 5 speakers that have been with the stadium for the last 23 years, since 1997. Two are gone forever. The other 3 that were on top of the main concourse have been repurposed. They've been switched around, moved out to the parking lot. So when people drive into the parking lot, it's a very expansive parking lot, as you know.
Sure.
They're going to hear that energy. They're going to feel that thump when they get out of their cars. Then when they come through the walkway into the stadium, there are 12 left field, or I'm sorry, 4 left field, 4 right field, and 4 across the main concourse, and each speaker box has 2. So it's a total of 24 new speakers,
nice,
plus 5 of our old. We're up to 29 speakers, and that's just a phenomenal experience. Corbin last week on Saturday, they had a doubleheader, and they rocked it out like it's like a rock concert. It was incredible.
How fun. I know there's a lot of competition these days for entertainment dollars, right?
There is.
So we're going to talk to families. You're going to talk to families and to businesses and to groups, little groups, youth groups. What's the differentiators?
Well, there's several different things.
And pull people out.
One of the things that we've done this year, we've hired a director of sales, Eric Fisk, and his title is director of sales for groups.
Hmm.
So his job is to go out and contact business groups, youth groups, church groups, Boy Scout groups, and give them a reason to come to the stadium as a community, feed them, water them, let them hang out at the kids' zone, let them kind of just fellowship with their fellow people. And we're getting groups between 25 and 250 people. And every day you can feel it exponentially growing, that the energy, the momentum is starting to build. And it's very exciting to see what's happening.
You know, and I'll say I've done this before where I took clients, taking customers of my business out to the ballpark, and dollar for dollar, when you compare it to taking people to a lunch or to golf or to some of these other appreciation events, it was pretty good value.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we rented one of the suites, what have you, and it was pretty cool, Dave. You get the suite, and there was like, there's the refrigerator.
Oh, nice.
And it's like, okay, that's right. They would have a drink, and then somebody came in and took their order, and everybody ordered something, and it really wasn't that much money for a very cool event.
And as low as $8, you can get a general admission ticket to go to sit in the outfield in the berm and just hang out for $8. That's just an incredible value.
I would think
a lot of families head out there too. They set up their lawn their lawn chairs and stuff.
My family's been one of them. For many years, I've been a fan sitting in the same stands that you guys sit in.
All right, we got to go. I think that one of the differentiators for us is that it's outdoors.
Yes.
That it's outdoors.
I like that.
We're going to be talking to the Volcanoes again next week. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you Monday. This is Brent for Dirt and Dave on 1430 KYKN Salem's.
This has been Lynn Fenton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.